Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 35. We're coming this evening to conclude our short series of messages on the life of Isaac. And tonight we want to look at the death and burial of Isaac. And of course that's what we have here at the end of Genesis chapter 35. But before we consider this portion of scripture, and before we consider this subject tonight, let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach God's word this evening. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee once again for the precious scriptures of truth. We thank thee for the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that we have the freedom in our land to meet in this fashion and read the Bible and preach from the Word of God, none daring to make us afraid. We thank thee for our free and religious liberty. And O God, may it ever be in this land of Ulster and across this island of Ireland and across this United Kingdom that we have this freedom. We thank thee, Lord, for the message of the Gospel, and we thank thee for thy Word. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would come and bless it to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless where thy word is going forth in other places. Bless in all our sister congregations tonight. We pray that you'll bless all of our ministers and our students and our laymen as they take up the word of God and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Indeed, Lord, wherever men and women are faithful to thy truth this evening, bless them. We pray for that mission in Maguire's Bridge, Lord, that you would save precious souls in that campaign. And oh God, we pray that even at this time that precious souls will not only hear the word in that part of this county, but Lord, that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that you'll bless the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, undertake for us now. Come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Genesis chapter 35, verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 80 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. In Genesis chapter 27, when Isaac was 137 years of age, he thought that he was going to die. We read that portion of scripture this morning. In Genesis 27 verse 2, Isaac said, "Now I am old, I know not the day of my death." And in Genesis 27 verse 4, Isaac said to his son Esau, "Make me savory meat that my soul may bless thee before I die." So in chapter 27, Isaac thought he was going to die. But of course we know that Isaac did not die at that time. In fact, the truth is that he lived for another 43 years. However, when we come to Genesis 35, and 43 years have passed since Genesis 27, we have here in this chapter, Genesis 35, recorded the death of this great man of God. The Bible not only records the birth of Isaac, but the Word of God also records the death of Isaac. While the birth of someone is significant, I believe personally that their death is more significant. You said to me, "Preacher, why is someone's death more significant than their birth?" Well, I believe because at birth, man's life only begins on earth. But at death, man's existence begins in eternity. Of course, we live in this 21st century, and many people do not believe in life after death. They tell us that when death comes, that's the end of man's existence. But of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. And we're going to find out tonight very clearly from the Word of God, even this passage of Scripture, that there is life beyond the grave. But I believe, men and women, a man's death is far more significant than a man's birth. And here in Genesis 35, we have the death and the burial of Isaac. In this chapter, Isaac's life upon this earth ends. But his existence in the life to come, in the great eternity, is only beginning. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. But as we come this evening to consider the death and burial of Isaac, and bring these studies on the life of Isaac to a conclusion, very simply, I want you to notice a number of things here about his death and burial. And I pray that if you're not saved in the meeting, that you will listen very carefully. And I pray that God will apply his word particularly to your heart. But I do believe that there is a word in season here for each and every one of us, both saint and sinner alike. What do we learn here about the death and burial of Isaac? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the age at which Isaac died. Is that not significant? Look at verse 28. Underline these words. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac died when he was 180 years of age. In a previous chapter, we noticed that Isaac lived the longest of the three great patriarchs of the Jewish nation. Abraham lived to 175. Jacob lived to 147. But Isaac lived the longest. He lived for 180 years. Verse 29 says that when Isaac died, being old and full of days. Here was a man, and he had a long life, a very long life. I believe I can safely say that none of us will live until we're 180 years of age. Indeed, if we make the 80, we might be doing very, very well. But the point that I want to bring out here is a simple point, but it is a truth that I want you to learn this evening, especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're not a Christian. And the truth is this, the point is this, no matter how old we may live upon this earth, even if we were to live until we were 180 years of age, death will come eventually for us all. And I believe that's the simple truth that we can glean from this portion of Scripture. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. All who live will die. Of course, apart from those who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time. But in the normal course of life, all who live will die. Keep your hand in Genesis chapter 35 and turn over back a few pages to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 is an interesting chapter in the Word of God, because it gives to us a list of some of the oldest men who ever lived upon this earth. But I want you to notice what it says about these old men who lived. Genesis 5, look first of all at verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Now here's a man, and he lived upon this earth for 930 years. Jacob was only a young man compared to Adam. But look what it says. After he lived upon this earth for 930 years, it says, and he died. Take a look at verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Take a look at verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, And he died. Look at verse 14. And all the days of Cana were 910 years. And he died. Look at verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Look at verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Look at verse 31. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. As I have said, these men in this chapter are among the longest livers upon this earth. But they have all one thing in common. They all died. The day came when they took their last breath upon this scene of time. Well, my friend, the truth is this. The death is coming for us all. The moment that we will take our last breath upon this earth is getting nearer every day to each and every one of us. And although Isaac lived until he was 180 years of age, the moment came when he died. Look at verse 29. Underline it. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died. These words literally mean that Isaac breathed out his last breath. The moment is coming when we will breathe out our last breath. In other words, we'll not breathe in another breath. The moment is drawing near when God will cause us to breathe no more as far as this scene of time is concerned. Death comes so suddenly. Indeed, the Bible describes death as coming in a moment. We read in Job 21 and verse 13 these words, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. And in chapter 34 of the book of Job and the verse 20 it says, in a moment shall they die. In a moment shall they die. I wonder tonight as we are gathered in this gospel service, are you ready for death? Are you prepared for this event? Have you made your peace with God? Are you saved by the grace of God? My friend, you're the only one that can answer that question, but you need to answer that question because sooner or later, perhaps sooner rather than later, you will breathe out your last. And the question then is this, where will you be in the great eternity? Where will you be 5 seconds after you die? You know, that's the most solemn question. And it's a solemn question that you need to answer honestly within your own heart and within your own soul, because as we have pointed out already, death is not the end. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the Bible says, the judgment, there is an after this. That's a truth that many in this world tonight do not want to believe. They refuse to believe that there's a God, and they refuse to believe that there's a heaven and hell, and they refuse to believe that there is life beyond the grave. They refuse to believe that there's an after this. My friend, there is, as far as God's holy word is concerned. Oh, we're going down the valley one by one, heading towards the setting of the sun. Going down the valley, going down the valley. We're going down the valley one by one. The young may die, the old will die. And that's why it is so important, indeed, that's why it is imperative for you and I to be saved and to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's why it is so important that we are prepared for death. Are you prepared for death tonight? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your own and personal Redeemer? If you have not, then come tonight and trust Him and be saved. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you He will save you now. The age at which Isaac died, he lived a long life, but the day came when he gave up the ghost and died. The day came when he breathed out his last. But notice something else here. Take a look again at Genesis chapter 35. And notice with me the blessing in Isaac's death. There's a little phrase in verse 29, and it's an interesting phrase. At least I think it's an interesting phrase. It says this. It says, Isaac died and was gathered unto his people. Underline that little phrase. And was gathered unto his people. This phrase implies more than being laid in a common grave. It implies more than dying and passing out of this life. This phrase, I believe, denotes reunion with those who have died in the faith. Therefore, this text, I believe, is speaking about life beyond the grave. Men and women, when we die, that is not the end of our existence. Death does not mean annihilation. And although the body dies and is put into the earth and will corrupt away in the grave, the soul will continue to exist. And the great blessing for the child of God is that at death we will go to be with Christ and with the saints that have gone on before. We will be gathered unto our people. In other words, we will go home to be with the saints who have gone on before. I believe that that's the meaning of that phrase. I believe that. And of course, it's not hard to prove from the Bible that there's life after death. It was the Apostle Paul who said in Philippians 1 verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And of course, in that text of Scripture, the departing that Paul was referring to was death. He was thinking about the day when he would die. And he knew that the moment he would die, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Child of God, when you and I die and go home to heaven, we will be with Christ, which is far better. But also, we will be with the saints of God in glory who have passed on before. There's a wonderful text of Scripture over in Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. And I know that most of you will be familiar with it. But it is speaking about those who die in Christ and those who are saved. And this is what it says in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 8. "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Not only does that verse teach me and prove conclusively that Isaac went to heaven when he died, that he went to be with the Lord when he died, but it proves to me that when I die as a child of God, I'm going to be with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to be gathered unto my people, unto the saints of God. Oh, what a wonderful place heaven is going to be. Heaven, of course, is a place where there's no more death and no more sorrow and no more crying and no more pain and no more sin. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when we, child of God, when we will be taken out of this scene of time, out of this sinful world. We will be translated into heaven, brought home to glory. Oh, the hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words. "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there." I wonder tonight, is there someone here and you know that you're not prepared for heaven and you're not prepared for death and you're not saved, and if you were to die now, you wouldn't go to heaven? Oh, my friend, if you're not assured of heaven this evening, then come and make your peace with God. But the moment we die as God's people, we will go to be with the redeemed. There's a wonderful verse in Revelation 7, and it's verse 9. Just listen to these words. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Oh, what a great host there's going to be in heaven. Not only the angels and the archangels and the seraphim. Not only the Lamb upon the throne, and of course that will be the greatest of all. But there'll be a great multitude that no man can number. Saints of God. My friend, will you be among them? Will you be among them when you leave this scene of time? When we die, we will be gathered unto our people. We will go to be with the redeemed in glory. Here is the blessing of death as far as the child of God is concerned. And it was a blessing for Isaac. We have studied his life over these past number of weeks now. And there have been many ups and downs. Isaac has certainly, as we have studied his life, feared the Lord in many, many ways. But oh, what a coronation day this was for God's dear child, because he went home to be with the Lord. Oh, my friend, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? That's a solemn question. I want you to keep your hand in Genesis chapter 35, and I want you to turn over just for a moment to Isaiah chapter 14. Because there's a verse there that I want you to see tonight if you're not a Christian. If you're not saved. Because instead of you going to heaven when you die, you'll go to hell. Instead of you going home to be with the saints in glory when you breathe out your last breath upon this earth, you'll enter into the caverns of the damned. Look what it says in Isaiah 14 verse 9. Here's the sad reality of the Christ rejecter when he dies. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. In other words, when the unsaved die, hell will open up for them. And like Korah, Dathan and Abiram that we read about in Numbers chapter 16, the Christ rejecter will go down into the pit, into hell itself. And of course, Luke chapter 16 reminds us of that as well. When the rich man died and he was buried, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Oh, my friend, what a contrast we have here between the death of the saint and the death of the sinner, the death of the Christian and the death of the Christ rejecter. What a contrast. And the Bible is clear. Indeed, it could not be clearer. He that believeth on the Son shall have everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But I pray tonight that the Lord will speak to your heart, especially if you're found here without Christ. My friend, you need to prepare to meet God. Maybe you're saying tonight, well, preacher, I agree with you. I believe what you're saying, but I've plenty of time. I don't want to get saved now. I can't change my way of going now, but sometime in the future, I'll sort this problem out. Listen, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. You need to make your peace with God now, because the Bible says, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Prepare for heaven now. Prepare for death now. Oh, you may not die for another 50 years. You may not die for another 70 years. But listen, at least you'll have peace in your heart, and you'll know every night when you put your head on the pillow that it is well with your soul. My friend, before I was saved, I was afraid of sleeping at night. Afraid that I would die in the middle of the night and go out into hell for all eternity. And many a night sleep went from me. But you know, I've no bother sleeping now. no bother at all going to bed and closing my eyes at night. Because I know even if I don't waken before the morning, that I'll go to be with my Lord and my Saviour. I'll be gathered unto my people. I'll go home to see the redeemed and to see the King in all His glory. The age at which He died, death is coming. The blessing of His death, He was gathered unto His people. He went home to be with the Lord. But notice something else here. Turn again to Genesis chapter 35. Look with me, and I think we need to point this out, especially considering what we said this morning. Notice the harmony in Isaac's family when he died. Did you notice that? In verse 29, underline the words. It says, "And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." Now if you study Genesis chapter 27, and we did that this morning, but if you weren't here this morning, read it again and study it. You will see that Esau vowed that he would kill Jacob when his father died. That doesn't happen. And of course, we know the reason why it doesn't happen. Because many years passes in between Genesis 27 and Genesis 35, and the Lord in His providence worked all these things out and softened Esau's heart. Esau and Jacob throughout life, however, had many differences. Indeed, on one occasion, as we have said already, Esau had vowed to kill him. However, by the time Isaac comes to die, Esau and Jacob had mended their differences. We read about this mending of the ways between Esau and Jacob in chapter 33. But if you study chapter 33, you will discover that God undertook for Jacob and removed Esau's hatred from Jacob. Therefore, when they came to bury their father, the hatred and animosity that Esau had for Jacob was gone. It was gone. And you can see here the harmony that's in the family at the death of Isaac. You know, there's a message there, child of God, for you and me. We should never hold grudges against anyone, especially those in our family and in the family of God. Hatred, spite, anger, and malice should never be allowed to reign in the life of the Christian. It's so important that we learn that. It's taught here, I believe. Certainly we can glean this truth from this portion of Scripture in Genesis 35. The wonderful portion of Scripture. I want you to turn over to it. It's Ephesians chapter 4. And here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course he is writing to God's people, to the saints of God. And this is what the Apostle writes in Ephesians 4 verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And of course also in the book of Colossians, when Paul was writing to the saints in Colossae, he emphasizes this truth in chapter 3 and verse 13. Let me just read you these words. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye." And of course there the apostle is speaking about harmony within the church. But of course, not only harmony within the church, but harmony within families and family units. And it's so important that we as Christians and those of us who are saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ apply that in our own living day by day. There will be those who will hurt us and those who will offend us, and maybe, there's no doubt about it, we will offend others. But let us always have that forgiving spirit and have that loving heart that we might forgive our brethren in Christ. You can see the harmony here as Esau and Jacob come to bury their father. And you'll notice also that they buried their father. They didn't cremate him. It says there at the end of verse 29, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And I believe as a Christian that that is very important. I believe in Christian burials. I don't believe in cremation. And of course, that's a study in itself, and we have studied it before, but I just want to mention it there at the end of verse 29. But as we close this evening, maybe there's someone here and you're not a Christian, and you're not saved. My friend, you need to come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to turn from your sin. You need to prepare for death and for eternity. There is a heaven to gain, but there is also a hell to shun. And that's why you need to be in Christ. And thank God you can get saved tonight, because the Lord Jesus has died upon the cross and he has shed his precious blood for your sins on Calvary. Oh, come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And on the cross, the Savior paid the price for sin, shedding his precious blood in order to redeem you. Thank God there is life for a look at the crucified one. And not only did the Lord Jesus die, but he rose again. And the Bible says he ascended back up into heaven and he ever lives. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. Thank God tonight you can be saved and you can know that you're saved. You can have your sins forgiven and you can know that your sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus has paid the price on Calvary. Indeed, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Thank God there is salvation for the vilest sinner who truly believes that moment to Jesus of cleansing will receive. But you've got to take the sinner's place. And of course, that's the hardest thing for the sinner. Taking the sinner's place. All of us who are saved had to take the sinner's place. I had to take the sinner's place. Well, my friend, we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all sinners. That's why we needed a Savior. But thank God, if you're prepared to take the sinner's place and repent and confess your sin, the Lord will forgive you for your sin, even this night. Come and prepare for heaven. Come and prepare for home. Let us all pray.